I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday.
In the wine cellar.
Baby, why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
Everybody knows. Alright. So it looks like, so folks that are on the Facebook Live, of course, you're getting the most raw possible version of the program. Other folks are catching the podcast archive. You're getting the podcast archive. You get the edited down thing. And then some folks may be tuned in to the podcast live, and you're getting the raw podcast live. Right? Right. All right, Phoenix Kaliter, Feeny Loco, doing stuff and things, getting ready, and I'm already here.
Show off.
All right, let's see what's going on. Man, it goes all right. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist. Phoenix Kaliter, reading in the shade with Phoenix Kaliter. The uppity negress. Follow her, uppity negress, on Twitter with two T's. Lisa Loco, the white splainer in chief. And actually, I don't know if Lisa Loco catches the notification to jump in live on this one. We can actually throw it on speakerphone, and then they'll be able to hear your audio on the Facebook live feed on 347-857-3937. That's actually anybody in the chat space that wants to call in and comment on the whatnot and the what have you that you're hearing or seeing us talk about right here. Yeah, that's me in a turtleneck. Yes, I would say I'm a bald guy in a turtleneck, but my clippers broke and I haven't replaced them, so I'm not a bald guy, and so the same old joke doesn't apply. Right? All right, we got guest 3000 tuned in the flash chat. And let's see. So it is SHIT. Sure happy it's Tuesday for September 27th, 2016. And, of course, I have my personal journal updates from the new job. Some of you may have read them already on the Facebooks. And in the news that Phoenix Kaliter set up in the show notes, there's a man who battered his wife, but he's still allowed to keep his job working at a domestic violence abuse line. Not my species anymore. Walmart employees refuse to make a Blue Lives Matter cake. Hey, what are you going to do? The British government is backing an oil company's plans for drilling in Africa's national parks. Hey, what are you going to do? And then, of course, as always, we need your monetary subscription to keep on going and growing. You can sign up at the patreon.com/winecellarmediafund or drop a one-time hit at the paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. And let's see if that is the individual right here. Alright, your microphone. Alright, your microphone ought to be live.
Excellent.
Alright, and then folks in the on the Facebook joint, let me know if you are picking her up. I'm gonna test and see if we get feedback here real quick. Alright, colored woman. We're just gonna both use the speaker style phone.
Alright, I'm gonna be really loud this time, I promise.
Yep. And you'll want to use your smart device to check the chat space.
And I'm acting like it's so far. It's only the other side of the table.
And then something else is going on. So folks that are catching the podcast, you are going to hear the breaks. We have the LGBT news break. We have the Black Agenda commentaries break. And we have a prison radio break with Mumia Abu-Jamal. The folks on the Facebook Live, we're just going to talk over those breaks directly with you because you're black. I expect this of you. I think this is a fact about you.
Now, why would you assume they're black when we have a white splainer in chief?
That nigga black, too. Let's see what's happening here. All right, did you find it, Miss Phoenix McColored Woman? Done found it. All right, so off into the show notes. We can just jump right into the whatnot, what have you, so I can wrap this up, get this thing uploaded, and then...
Leslie said I'm pretty. Thank you, Leslie.
Where in the hell is...
What are you looking for?
The notes group.
Right there, that one. That one.
Okay. I can't be on my Facebook and on the phone at the same time if I don't have my internet set up at the house. But what head wrap are you wearing tonight?
This is from Rapunzel. It is their signature wrap, which I said I was going to do a tutorial about, and I never did because I suck sometimes.
Man.
But it's like a rainbow color, but you can like crease it and fold it different ways so you only see certain colors, which obviously I'm going for purples and yellows and orange because I'm wearing those colors.
Purples and yellows and oranges?
Yes.
Fresh?
Yes.
So this feller, he goes by the name of David Byrd. And we do not have this on WineCellarMedia.com yet. This is on the mirror.co.uk. And just the picture that they selected for this guy. Like, he's on the beach. He's in a rounded V-neck. A U-neck. And man, he's got the sunglasses on the forehead. He's feeling great. The closed mouth smile. Just, I mean, he could be a southern politician. So, I love the way these UK folks put this stuff up. A mum attacked by her husband has expressed shock after he walked free from court with a £100 fine and was allowed to keep his job manning an abuse hotline. And it's not exactly the same.
Just for context, that's about $130 or $140.
Okay, so that's the, I almost said translation. What is the word? When you switch it over to McMurrican dollars?
Currency exchange.
Yeah, it's actually called the currency exchange. Very, very complicated topic for some folks. Yeah, so about $130 McMurrican. And he was allowed to keep his job. Remember the one in Texas? Where I think it was a grown man raped a teenage girl and he got to stay at a, the judge sentenced him to work with victims.
Yes.
That was his sentencing, was to work with victims.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ain't that nice. When the victims ask, how did you get your job here? The victim, Nicola Byrd, says that she was beaten black and blue by David Byrd, but the brute has not even been suspended from his counsel job helping domestic violence victims.
Mm-hmm.
Quote from Mrs. Byrd, it is not as if he is employed picking up litter. He deals with vulnerable people who have been domestically abused. He did not even get suspended on full pay. He has been going to work as if nothing happened. It's a joke. And the domestic violence campaigners have branded the handling of the case a disgrace, end quote. And Nicola, too, says the 55-year-old Byrd of just 18 months snapped when she dared to interrupt him watching the Euro 2016. Is that like the British guy's version of watching the game?
Yeah, would have been softer. And it's Nicola, by the way. It's not Nicola. Nicola.
It's actually Nicola. It's not Nicole, like it's like you're trying to, in Phoenix, Kalita, you're trying to endorse products, you know, Pepsi, Nicola, like just pick one and let's go, you know.
Why do your struggles got to be my struggles, though?
What? That's part, isn't that part of the deal? For blacker or for dark, till being colored do you part? Yeah.
Fine.
We need to get a t-shirt line, go Williamism.
We do. Like, we need, like, a fucking... We need t-shirts. We need bumper stickers. We need, like, our own series of memes.
Those will start fights.
Yeah. We need a merchandise, a wine cellar merchandise line that is just Williamism.
Yeah, we can do that.
Feast Good, how many, have you counted how many bars of soap you have in inventory now?
Probably about 20.
Nice, yeah, so she's building up to an inventory of 30, and then she's going to start naming the scents and putting them up for a sale, which and we have an option to use like a Facebook shop, which I'm just going to like link to. I mean, put them on Etsy, put them on all of them, and then whenever you sell one, just take it off the inventory of there, or, you know, or just make more.
You have to pay to put them on Etsy.
What the fuck, man?
Why don't you just put them up on Wine Cellar Media? Like, we already have the website and the server space. Like,
yeah,
we could.
Why don't you just start a Wine Cellar merch line that includes your jokes and toiletries?
Yeah, really. Yeah, and really just link them in, like at the bottom of every article, just link them. And, of course, like, anybody signed on the Patreon, like, at the beginning of every month, you just get a bar anyway, just off scratch. All right. So the victim says that he'd been watching TV and binge drinking in an outdoor bar in the garden of their home in Hull East, Yorkshire. All right, that's a whole other place. It's not really the same thing. It's like... It is. It's a whole other... Ma'am, it's a whole other place. It's Yorkshire. You're getting a lot of these wrong.
It's Yorkshire.
Yorkshire. It's where
it's cool. It's cool. It's not like you're correcting a person that's actually from that island. Like, it's cool.
I went there and purchased a vase in Yorkshire.
Yorkshire.
Ma'am! She don't know nothing.
So she's the white splainer in chief.
Another quote from I forgot.
Nicola.
quote.
Nicola.
She said, I wouldn't care if it was halftime. The match wasn't even on. Otherwise, I would not have bothered. Continuing, but he had not spoken to me all day, and I just wanted to tell him I loved him, and he yelled, for fuck's sake, and threw a pint of cider at my face. Fuck is wrong with this dude? You gotta kill...
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Can we just walk it back real quick to this woman's explanation and the internalized victim blaming there, where she is just inherently taking blame for the situation and explaining how much she didn't deserve this with caveats around his behavior.
But it was halftime.
Like, I'm telling you, man, just pick up a bat and just bash this guy's head in until you're finished. Like, you can't have this member of the species roaming around anywhere. Get rid of him and then move on to the next one. This is always the conclusion.
Because there's always a next one. What the conclusion I come to?
Yes.
Ain't that the damn truth?
She's always like, just... continuing, quote, he slapped me to the ground and started dragging me around the garden. He ripped my necklace off and put his hands around my throat. Then he got me up against the wall outside the kitchen and started headbutting me. Really? It went on for half an hour. I was in agony. He threw me to the floor and my head missed one of the big flower pots by inches. Otherwise, I might not be here. I thought he was going to kill me. I was screaming for help, but nobody heard me. Well, they heard you. It's just that this species is a failure.
So, I'd also like to, I mean, obviously, absolutely none of his violent actions are okay, but just to walk it back, to emphasize the point that this person is still working with victims of domestic violence.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Domestic abusers who choke their victims are exponentially more likely to eventually kill their victims. Like, this guy is literally a murderer in waiting. He's a ticking time bomb. Like, users who use choking versus other forms of physical violence end up being murderers.
Oh, man. And, you know, where we're going to leave off with this story is that her 19-year-old son was sleeping after getting home late from work. And while this fucking guy was being taken away by the cops, the 19-year-old son said, "You better not be here when I get back," which means he's probably going right back to work again. Well, who the fuck is paying for this outdoor bar? Fuck Nikolai. Fucking Nikki Barnes. I don't know who the fuck these people are, man. Taking a look at the chat space. There's Jay Loco, Christy Loco posted up in the joint. LQ from Blackwashed trying to get some of that Phoenix soap. And there's Terry Loco said going all high tech. I think so. Giving it a shot.
Oh, you're your bodyguard is here.
Oh, there's Michael Wright. Yeah, you know, on the Something in Common program.
Oh,
you know, like he keeps the Gatorade cold. Yeah.
What? See, the minute he said he wasn't gonna fuck you up, you're like, I could talk all the shit I want now. He said he's not gonna beat my ass.
He does a lot of good for that program. What?
He's gonna beat your ass.
I'm telling you, he's a good helper. Like, he always has the towels ready. All right, Michael Reich is there.
And LQ thought you were wearing a satin bonnet at first.
A satin bonnet. Hat I picked up at one of those resale shops back in I must have got this thing in like 2006 or 5. It's elder. All right. So now, for the folks that are on pot,
I fit my clothes so infrequently that you can remember roughly what year you purchased items in.
What? He has this thing about remembering dates. It's unique.
It is. She was about to say creepy. She was about to say it is creepy as all hell.
I was not going to say that.
She was about to say this is a weird dude. All right. So, ooh. All right, wait a second. So I should probably... Ooh, you don't have a way to launch into the next story.
Ta-da!
Yeah, all right, so Phoenix Collider's going to launch into the next story while I handle tech problems on the spot so that we can get to the LGBT news update right after she does that. So
the
we can go to
joys
that first break.
Of live broadcasting. Which one are we doing next?
Very next one in line.
Right. Oh, Walmart employees refuse to make Blue Lives Matter cake and get in trouble. Of course. By the way, this happened in Georgia. Hey. A Georgia Walmart is under fire after their bakery staff refused to make a cake featuring a black and white American flag with the words Blue Lives Matter. Taylor Wilkes took to Facebook calling for people to boycott the store after a family friend was refused the cake for her father's retirement party. What are you doing? So, here's the Facebook post. So my buddy's sister went to Walmart in McDonnell, Georgia, to have a cake made for their father's retirement party. He's retiring from being a police officer. She asked Walmart to make him a thin blue line cake. Actually called it the thin blue line cake. To commemorate his extensive and honorable service as a dedicated police officer, Walmart refused to honor her request due to it being, quote, racist. That's what it says. It actually has racist in quotes.
What is the publication that put this up?
Distractify.
Oh, are they like a right-wing outfit?
No, they're more like a clickbaity kind of thing where they're like, this will generate the clicks, let's post it. Okay. And then they take no particular stance on it. Yeah, this is just the screenshot of the actual person who's arguing about it on Facebook, who's kicked the whole thing off. Yeah. Three separate people in management denied her request for this reason. To me, this is appalling. There is nothing racist about the symbolism behind the blue line. Okay. Yet people choose to make everything about race. I'm so tired of it. It's literally exhausting for me to think about now. What, nigga? Yes, racism is indeed exhausting to think about. It's only ignorant people who continue to spread this negativity. People need to educate themselves. Bottom line, I'm just waiting for the day the American flag is deemed racist. I hate to break it to you, but... but... I'm just waiting for the day the American flag is deemed, quote, racist by ignorant instigators who are just looking for attention and something to be upset about. It's getting ridiculous. I will be changing the privacy settings on this post to public, so share it as you see fit.
Mm-hmm. Share it.
Yeah. So, it has had 5,000 shares, and most commenters are calling for those to boycott Walmart. Yeah.
We're gonna boycott them.
Boycott them.
Boycott them fellas.
Fox News, of course, spoke to the daughter who was refused the cake and wished to remain unnamed. I was so shocked. I didn't know what to do or say or anything. I was trying not to lose my temper and make a scene. I don't believe you. One of the bakers told me the design could be perceived as racist and nobody felt comfortable decorating the cake. The woman claimed she then asked for a different design, a black cake with a blue line through the middle, but that was also denied. I mean, I think Walmart should have a strong policy about not using gang colors, right?
Ugh, well, like, black, that's too...
Well, I mean, you know, it's all kind of relative. They defended that Milo guy after he got kicked off Twitter for being a troll, which was weird because they're all like free market until the free market speaks against you. I remember. Yes, because you're not allowed to have religious... You cannot have religious objections to patriotism. It's wrong. It's bad. So the woman asked for a different design, a black cake with a blue line, but that was also denied. She said, I don't feel comfortable with this. Is there something wrong with cops? Yes. I was disappointed. I go to Walmart all the time, at least once a week, and spend hundreds of dollars. I would like to see the receipts. I just wanted to make my dad a cake to show him how much I appreciated him. Which, isn't that some, like, whiteness? Peak whiteness right there. I wanted to make my dad a cake, so I got in my car and drove to Walmart and ordered a cake and told them how I wanted it designed so I could give it to my dad and tell him I made him a cake. You didn't make shit!
Wait, how are you spending hundreds of dollars every single week at Walmart? Like, let's just say even $200 every week.
Grocery shopping.
That much grocery? $100 a week, that's $500 a month in groceries.
Some people have an obsession with buying name brands. Like Kraft Cheese, for example.
Kraft Cheese wouldn't even do that. I don't like your generic cheese. Your generic cheese sucks.
It's not generic. It is a local chain in the Midwest that comes from Wisconsin.
That cheese is garbage, man.
It is not.
Like, just, like, when you look at it, like, it hurts your eyes, and then you gotta look back at the name brand cheese to soothe yourself. It's like LASIK, man. It's like...
How dare!
Yeah, that's how I dared verbally. I dared.
No! Absolutely. Zip it. Zip it.
No. No, they're not. Wrong. Wrong.
Oh, now all of a sudden we don't deal with fact-based facts.
I learned all this when I was taking a class in Yorkshire. I already learned what's actually true about this, ma'am.
Yorkshire. so no, groceries, name brand groceries, maybe clothes, bullets. I don't know. It's in Georgia. They probably sell bullets at Walmart in Georgia.
Probably y'all are getting fucking, if it is true that they're doing the $100 thing. And all right, so right now for podcast listeners, going to the LGBT news update for the Facebook folks. We're going to keep hanging out with you for these 3 minutes and something or other seconds. Get black. What? Why is it still doing that?
I don't know, what's it doing?
Oh, I see what I was supposed to do. Yeah, there we go. Now we're all in the back room together.
Oh, okay.
While I... Yeah, so what I want to do is I want to have that microphone and Lisa's microphone closer to the Facebook live feed so that to make sure that her audio picks up on the Facebook.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Shane Luke in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. First up, Big Gay News from Uganda. Ugandan police block gay pride parade. BBC reports Ugandan police have blocked gay pride celebrations from happening in two resorts outside the capital, Kampala. Gay rights activist Frank Mugisha said more than 100 LGBTI people tried to participate in the celebrations in Entebbe, near Lake Victoria, but many were escorted by police back to Kampala in minibuses. After being blocked from entering the Entebbe resort, several dozen participants moved on to another resort, but were kicked out by officers. This is the second time the LGBTI community has tried to hold gay pride celebrations in Uganda this year. In August, the authorities broke up a beauty pageant and arrested activists. It is unclear why this event was targeted, as over the past 4 years, celebrations have been held without much notice from the police. Next up, Pope backs opposition to Mexico's gay marriage proposal. Fox News reports Pope Francis has voiced support for Mexican bishops and citizens opposing the government's push to legalize same-sex marriage. At his weekly Sunday blessing, Francis said he willingly joined their protests, quote, in favor of family and life, which in these times requires special pastoral and cultural attention around the world. Tens of thousands of people marched through Mexico City on Saturday to protest the president's proposal on marriage. Wearing white, they held banners warning against same-sex marriage and demanding parents' right to control sex education in schools. Francis has opposed gay marriage and has railed against gender ideology, particularly as taught in schools. But he rarely intervenes publicly in national debates, preferring to let local bishops take the lead. Next up, six sites recognized by Britain for significance to gay history. The New York Times reports the former homes of writer Oscar Wilde and composer Benjamin Britten are among six sites that were recognized by an arm of the British government for their significance in LGBT history. Historic England, a body that designates places worthy of legal protection, announced the decision, the latest in an effort to showcase queer history. Last September, Historic England gave the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, a well-known gay pub, a Grade 2 listing, meaning that it cannot be demolished, extended, or altered without special permission. Through a research project called Pride of Place, people have been invited to submit places of importance to gay history. More than 1,600 submissions have come in. The project will, in part, serve to commemorate the 50th anniversary next year of the partial decriminalization of homosexuality in England and Wales. For our last story, militants use social media to lure and kill gay Iraqi men. The Washington Blade reports members of a Shiite militant group in Iraq have reportedly killed 11 gay men in Baghdad since September 1st. Ayaz Hassan, a human rights activist from Iraqi Kurdistan, said the militants send messages to people they suspect are gay, convince them to go out on dates after sending them pictures of themselves. Then, Hassan said, quote, they take them away and they kill them. Prominent cleric Muqtada al-Sadir issued a decree in July that bans his followers from committing violence against LGBT people. A gay Iraqi man who lives in D.C. told The Blade this week the Baghdad killings are a reaction to that order.
All right, and we are back in the front room, WineCellarMedia.com. All right, stuff, things, whatnot, what have you, this, that, and the other. All right, got a lot of Thugabaloo and Nigga Moreau still happening. I don't know where I get this shit, man. All right, Phoenix Kalita, just so really just about an hour ago, you put some more stuff in the notes, so I want to dig down into the newest stuff. Ooh. See, this is what we need to be doing. Like, I think we need to try to, like, make, like, fake profiles where we pose as cops and then, like, friend each other posing as cops on the fake profiles so that each one has at least, like, you know, 60 friends on it so it looks like a real account, you know, and then, like, start joining cop groups so that we could start getting stuff cops really say and archive it so that when they do shoot somebody and then their station tries to hide what they did, we could be like, oh, no, this is who you really are.
So when they Darren Wilson it?
Just any cop. Yeah, it's a little grody. It's a little grody.
Why do we have to pretend to be a cop when we have people in our friends and followers list who work in law enforcement?
There are? What? No, that prison guard lady?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that if somebody has insight and a real profile, like...
Yeah, hold up. Why isn't she doing that? Like, you should be reverse snitching, homie. Like, what's popping? And there's Penny Loco posted up in the joint. Penny Loco, a brain scientist inventor, fucking genius.
You know, we love Penny.
And, yeah, and Penny Loco, that's the voice that you hear on a lot of that stuff. You know, like, it's white on white crime in the wine cellar. You know, like, it's dope. Penny Loco's dope. All right, so this is actually directly from today at 6 p.m. So only 4 hours ago, this news went up. A police person done got fired after posting a racialized slur on social styled media. This person looks swarthy. Like, the picture, like if they were to run it through a filter, that looked like some kind of colored woman.
No, it doesn't. She's probably, like...
McTallion
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look.
Or she just goes out tanning a lot. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking. And I only know olives to be black in all irony.
They can be
green.
Mm-hmm.
That nigga ain't green. Nobody's green. That's not real. The closest to a person being green was Warwick Davis playing Leprechaun. Like, that's it. I have the Leprechaun box set because I'm cool. And Phoenix Kalita really enjoyed binge-watching all 8 seasons of Desperate Housewives. Ugh. That was the shit, wasn't it? That was the shit. All right, so the mayor of...
I totally judging both of you for making it through all 8 seasons of Desperate Housewives.
You do not understand my struggle.
See, this is the fibber that fibs.
Whoa, I was like, is it over yet? How many more seasons? How many episodes are there in a season? Season 6, is that the last one? Only 20 episodes? Oh, there's fucking 8 seasons! There's 8 seasons!
But you know what she'd be doing? She'd be sitting in her chair, playing her violent video games, doing fatalities
hold
and
the,
stuff.
Hold the fuck up!
Ma'am,
hold the fuck
ma'am,
up! You're gonna talk
black.
About me playing Mortal Kombat because it's violent? That entire fucking TV show is them killing people every goddamn season.
It is. It's the white-on-white crime chronicles. It's awesome. And, and she will get up from what she's doing. She will get up from her Facebook feed, and then she'll come and she'll stand there and watch like 15 minutes standing. I'll be like, you just want to sit in the chair? She'll be like, no, I'm gonna walk away in a minute. And then like 10 minutes later, sit down and be like, ooh, what did Bree do? And, like, start vibing.
Vibing. No, there was no vibing. There was, like, vibing through season 2, and then I was like, oh, it's just more seasons of this.
Lisa, you said you're judging us.
I refuse to be judged by anybody that is engaged in chewing tobacco.
Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalita. Oh, no. Yeah, and for folks that don't know, like, that's legit. Like, this type of pale is why they started calling it white. Like, without that complexion, they would have came up with another name.
True story.
Yeah. Yeah, and for folks who've been around the wine cellar a long time, y'all know what I said when I first saw her picture, and I was like, that pale with that eyeshadow and that fire red hair. What? She was doing Pennywise cosplay, and you know it's true. Let's see. We're going to McKeesport, a name of a town or city I've never seen before. And so the mayor of McKeesport has fired a part-time police officer.
Somewhere around Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, ish area. Somewhere around there.
Pittsburgh. Oh, is that Pittsburgh?
Pennsylvania.
Isn't that where the Queer as Folk show was set?
I have no idea. You be watching all this white TV. I don't fucking know, man.
I mean, I got up to like season 3, and then that was like as much as the logo station was like re-airing. Like they only got up to season 3, and then they just stopped. So McKeesport. They fired a part-time police officer after inappropriate social media post. And the post allegedly shows the terminated officer, Melissa Adamson. Damn, that is white. In uniform with the caption, "I'm the law today," followed by a racial slur. Well, what's the racial slur?
I'm pretty sure it... Nagger. Started with an N. Pretty sure. Pretty sure.
Uh-oh. Phoenix Collier's got to run and go do stuff. Run and go do stuff, woman. All right. And so it shows her fall. Yeah, what up?
If she'd actually murdered someone, though, she would have gotten paid vacation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yo, stop using your words. Use your bullets. That's how you communicate. All right? Like... Come on. What did you get the job for? I mean, and even if you just got the job as a cop, have you not been paying attention to recent news over the past? Like, really, let's say ever since Sean Bell in 2007. Was that 2007? Sean Bell, or was that 2008? I think that was 2008. Ever since then.
I told you about the date thing.
Ma'am. I remember, ma'am, get black. Ma'am, she keeps on... Ooh. She's doing a talk to the hand with her whole body right now. I remember it because I was like, ooh, this is going to be big news. This is really going to shine a light on what we deal with the cops. And then the Casey Anthony case kicked off and totally smothered it for like the next 3 years. And then, where I was working, like, where I did...
If Casey Anthony was a thing, it had to be later than that, because Casey Anthony was arrested for assault and battery on the news constantly my first job after my divorce, which is, like, 2007.
Or maybe after you escaped, you had more time to pay attention to the news. This is my speculation.
She's like, oh, fuck it, I'm just gonna let you have that one.
And this is what's bugged out, because folks know that, like, I used to live in Florida, and where I did inventory work, like, one of the restaurants that, like, where we chuck boxes around, Casey Anthony's mother was a regular customer to the point of where people stopped bothering her. They were just like, that's her. Just fuck it. Like, and they just, it just, like, she kind of, like, became invisible. Yeah, so, like, every day you're like, oh, shit, there's the killer mom's mother there. Holy shit. Just sitting down, just having a plate. All right. So, Mayor Michael Sharepko. Yeah, I pronounced it right. I've been pronouncing everything right. All right. Why don't you go take a sip of your Nicola and come back and you learn how to pronounce things. All right, so the mayor, Michael Sharepko, posted on the borough's Facebook page Tuesday afternoon, sure happy it's Tuesday, that the officer's actions will not be tolerated in the city of McKeesport. It's not that the actions won't be tolerated. It's the being rude about it. It goes back to what my coverage of the of debate night was, right? Like, it's just polite versus rude. Like, we want our white supremacy polite. Like, don't be all belligerent. That's embarrassing. And according to the mayor, Mayor Adamson, Adamson, the cop, was a probationary employee in training and had only been on the job for a few weeks. Okay, so that was inadvertently just the truth of what people think as soon as they become cops. Like, oh yeah, y'all ain't gonna drag me through trial like you did Zimmerman. I will shoot your ass and go do a fucking $500,000 interview on Fox News or CNN. And that is the gosh darn deal. Jump in one more before I go to the next break. What is this? Phoenix Cleater put this one in the notes also just an hour ago. Let's take a look at it. This is on News Channel 5 Network. Support the small timers. Parole board votes not to recommend putting a bunch of flash on your website when I'm trying to read the news story. Jiminy Christmas. Alright, so the parole board votes not to recommend exoneration for McKinney. Alright, let's take a look. Is that McKinney, wait, which? Is that the cop? Man, what the fuck is this? See this black motherfucker?
No, McKinney is not a cop. It is the name of a prisoner who was wrongfully convicted for a crime he did not commit. And he has been exonerated now from DNA evidence, but the parole board doesn't want to give him the exoneration legally because then the state would have to pay him for keeping him in prison for 31 years.
Whoo! Fucking... So, Nashville, Tennessee... I can't remember if it was Tennessee or Mississippi that didn't outlaw slavery till like late 2012. Like they, Mississippi. It was Mississippi. They just forgot. So the Tennessee Board of Parole unanimously voted to recommend no exoneration for wrongfully convicted Lawrence McKinney. So the crime he didn't commit, he was arrested for rape in the first degree and burglary in Memphis and was convicted on those charges and sent to prison. Now, folks that have been around the wine cellar for a while remember that one thing that they were doing to convict black men was they were using dog hair and just saying, yeah, that's his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there ain't a lot of dogs that even Cocker Spaniels have a Jufro at best. Like, there are no dogs that have African-looking hair. Like, none. Are there any you could think of?
Poodles, maybe?
Poodles?
Water dog.
It said Portuguese water dog?
Yeah.
That is a really white thing to know. fucking, let me see. Portuguese water dog. I'm actually going to go look at one now. Of course, I spelled it wrong.
Of course you did. And I like how you Google Portuguese water dog and the first thing that came up was a Jack Russell.
A Jack Russell? What is that? Yeah, wait. I went to images. Why is it? Okay, there we go. Not those either. Yeah, nah. That's,
Well, I mean,
it looks like,
but to like a racist white person, maybe.
Hey, it looks like a nigga that got their finger wave wet. Like, that's all that is. That's a wet finger wave. Yeah, I mean, that's like a S curl at best, or like a Jerry curl. And yeah, that's like an NWA dog, for the most part. Yeah, that's it is. That's what they look. It looks like a Jerry curl to me. If you go to a Portuguese water dog Google images and go down. Yeah. To a brown one from HDWallpaperSultra.com. All right.
Yeah, and also, it's worth noting, too, he was convicted in 1977. So that was before they had, you know, all the same DNA testing that's available now. So much easier to convict people. Probably.
Yeah, well, you essentially just needed to pull a Lena Dunham. was all you had to do. Sip. Oh yeah, for the folks listening to the audio podcast, Phoenix Kaliter has went ahead and filled up one of those ridiculous wine glasses we purchased at that thrift store a couple days ago.
It was 25 cents. What do you want from me? Stuff.
And things.
Whatever was on sale, because that's how I live my life, because poverty exists.
Yep. Is urban. Look at that thing. Like it on the camera, it is bigger than your head. I mean, I know that's part of that is perspective because it's closer to the camera. It's still half your head. Look at that shit, man. That's a big fucking glass. For the folks listening to the podcast, go to William J. Jackson on Facebook and look up Sure Happy It's Tuesday 9/27/16 so you can see that schniz. Alright, so let's go ahead and for the folks on the Facebook, we'll keep hanging out with you. And but for the folks listening to the podcast, for 4 minutes and 30 seconds, you're going to get to hear Black Agenda Radio commentaries on the Obama legacy, which and I'll riff about that on the Facebooks while that's playing on the program. Yeah, so Obama was stepping and fetching it for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to his message to black people was, if you don't go vote in this upcoming election, that will be a personal insult to me.
Yeah, well.
Today, we're going to look for the Obama legacy in how the federal government treats those who steal from the public or from the poor. The current bankster scam in the news right now is Wells Fargo, whose bosses deliberately incentivize thousands of $12-an-hour employees to buckle down and sell connected financial services to customers who did not need or want them in order to keep their jobs or to be eligible for promotion. For the record, Wells Fargo is far from the only bank to do this. It's been a kind of standard corrupt bankster move all over the world for decades. Wells Fargo made billions doing it this time alone. So how do scamming banksters get handled in the age of Obama, and how's it any different from what came before? Fair question. The answer is that 1,000 or 2 bank workers will be disciplined or fired. For a small fine, a mere fraction of what its executives stole, Wells Fargo got the Obama Justice Department to co-sign on their professed innocence of any crime and to guarantee their immunity to lawsuits filed by the people they robbed. Obama's first attorney general famously declared the banksters too big to prosecute or even investigate, and his second attorney general wrote the fine print on the very similar get out of jail free and can't be sued by the people I robbed cards that Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and of course Wells Fargo received back in 2009. It wasn't always this way. When savings and loan officials scammed the public out of millions during the first Bush administration, federal prosecutors put a couple thousand of them in prison. Obama could have done the same and was expected by millions to do just that. He simply chose not to, which helped Democrats lose the Congress in 2010. In 8 years, Democrat Barack Obama has gone further to protect criminal banksters and their investors than any Republican dared go before him. Take a quick look at the Obama administration's handling of another kind of theft from the poor, wage theft. Economist Richard Wolff estimates the yearly value of wages, which employers refuse to pay, illegally withhold, or otherwise steal from their workers in this country, at several times the value of all the reported burglaries and armed robberies. Unlike burglars and armed robbers, employers are traditionally not prosecuted. And in Los Angeles, it's reported that 83% of workers who won a case for stolen wages against an employer during a year never recover a cent. Wage theft seems to be an area where little has changed under the Obama administration. previous administrations never bothered about it, and neither has Barack Obama. Finally, not even the briefest discussion of Barack Obama's legacy on elite financial crime can be complete without noting the president's role in the massive expansion of the charter school rackets. The Obama administration spent $4 billion in federal stimulus money outside any congressional or other oversight to incentivize the closing of thousands of underperforming public schools, mostly in black and poor communities. It was called the Race to the Top program. The near complete absence of public accountability on the part of charter schools predictably ushered in a nationwide white-collar crime wave, as charter school operators, their officers, contractors, and their sugar daddy investors scrambled for shares of the cash that used to go to public education. Thus, the past 8 years reveal the definitive Obama legacy on elite financial crime. It's not just too big to jail, it's simply not punishable or even investigatable as long as you steal from the poor or from the public. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon. Find us on the web at www.blackagendareport.com.
The policy of death. It has happened again and again and again and again and again. A cop arrives on a scene. An order is barked or oinked. And in a flash, a person is dead. More than likely, a dark person, a black person. Immediately, the language of depersonalization used by cops and the media snaps into place. Suspect, not person, suspect. And the crime? He did not comply. She didn't obey when I ordered her to put out her cigarette. Death for disobedience. Comply or die. Get on the ground, because you're a suspect. Suspected of what? It doesn't matter. Anything will do. You are not free to say no. You are not free. You are not. Like two-bit Nazis, cops make decisions like this every day, day after day after day. The dead die, families cry, and nothing happens. Because nobody died. Another dark soul died in America. You know, the land of the free. Nobody. Just a suspect. Just a nigger. From imprisoned nation. This is moving.
What the hell?
Yeah, they did that at ours too. On the dental checkups too. Yeah.
Oh, well, we had like some fluoride swishing program in grade 5. We had some knockoff basketball player named Magic Charlie come in and miss a hook shot for us. That was very boring. Oh, what the hell else? Mrs. Gunnarsson fell and nobody liked her, so it was great for the students. The teachers were like, don't laugh at that. That's not funny. And it's
not
like,
funny. You can't laugh at people falling.
But she yells at the children. And she has the advanced children's class. Like, why are you yelling at the kids that are working really hard? Fuck you. Mrs. Gunnarsson, I hope you're tuned
into this. Motivational speaking.
Fucking shit, man.
Motivational.
And I had Mrs. Columbo, who pushed me to do creative writing. And Mrs. Columbo was real dope. Something else she did in her class was she printed up, like, fake money that you could earn by doing good deeds in class. You know, like, do something nice for another student, you know, and like, if she, like, she sees you, like, she'll drop $1 or $2 on you. And then, like, at the end of the week, you know, like, she'll break out the box and you can, you know, you can buy whatever you want. And yeah, candy was there, but, like, you know, there was a point where students are like, you know what, I could use a set of pencils, you know, like, I could use some of those magic markers, pass those over.
So did you get all the money because you were a good kid?
I did well. Yeah, I was a very well-behaved child. Like, in my career as a child, I've only been grounded twice, and I only had to sit in the corner 3 times. And one of those times that I sat in the corner, my sister and I, my biological sister, we both had to sit in the corner, because something glass was broken, and she was like, "You're gonna both gonna sit in the corner until whoever did it comes forward." And then my sister finally said it was her. So that one, I was just in there on trumped up charges or whatever you want to call it. Like, I actually didn't. I didn't do nothing.
That is so not like my childhood at all. My childhood was nothing like that.
No, yeah, and that's... Oh, and some folks may have noticed in the social network some... Phoenix Kalita made a post. One of the people that purchased her when she was a child, and now she's an adult, they want to have a talk with me.
They do.
I don't realize, like... I'm not one of them stepping fat. I'm not one of them niggas.
Well, he had a conversation with me. It just didn't go the way he wanted. And that's his fault. So he needs to straighten him out so he can straighten me out. Because chain of command. They're going to bond over being men. Bond. Very strong. Strong bond.
No, I'm just going to have him buy me food and then I'm going to eat it and tell him no. Yeah, because I mean, like, really, like this. Yeah, that dude's bugging. He has no idea what he's trying to sign up for. Like, I'm too calm, I'm too cool, and I'm too solid in my positions. And also, like, if you want to come along, like, basically, we can have the youngest be with, like, a babysitter, like, your friend that you hang out with. Mm-hmm. And you and I can go sit there. Because I know what the position is going to come from is all the stuff we've done for her. And the shit that I'm going to go into is going to need all sorts of trigger warning, and we're not going to go into it on the program. I'm going to be like, so, this is the stuff you've done. These are your credentials. Do you really think that's going to convince me of anything?
That's going to go great!
Yeah, and I'm going to record it.
And we'll never be invited over for Thanksgiving ever.
Oh, no.
Are you really going to cry about that, though?
No. She dries out the turkey every year.
Yeah, and I mean, for Thanksgiving, like, this is my idea. I don't even know if you're on board with this. Like, I want to eat early, and then you want to go catch those deals on early Christmas shopping, because Black Friday is Thursday now.
Yes.
It's not like it was way, way back when it was like, you know, 7 a.m. Whoa, that's early shopping. No, it's not even like 1 a.m. or 3 a.m. anymore. It's just...
It's 8 p.m. Thursday night.
Yeah. Like, as soon as you are done gorging yourself, it's like, now go try not to vomit by sprinting through a store with all this food in your stomach.
Yeah, actually, no, we normally eat early. We normally eat at, like, 3.
Yeah.
So you can just, like, lounge around and watch football for the rest of the day. But in our case, we're gonna go shopping. Or I'm gonna go shopping anyway, because poverty exists and I need sales.
Yeah, so I mean, so what? You wanna eat at, like, 11 a.m.?
How about, like, 1?
1 p.m.?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's fucking real. Like, I'm like, all right.
Yo, hold that quote. Like, don't forget, that needs to be a meme. Like, can I meme that with your face? I have pictures of you, which is a creepy thing to say.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
That would be a good way to like, a
ah.
That's not... It gets real.
It does.
It gets real. Hell, we cashed out the change basket.
We did.
Which is the change basket. And that's because I hadn't selected a Crown Royal bag for that change yet, so I was just throwing it in the basket.
I was so super excited last week because I did laundry and I found $5 in the pocket and was able to give it to
kind of money in the motherfucking pocket. That's that good shit, man. That's like, yes, a prize. Even though it was already yours, it's still like it was a prize.
It's like when you're a little kid and you have a toy and then you like lose it, or it's like under your bed and then you find it again. You're like, oh, I got this awesome new thing. Yes. Like, that's what that is as an adult.
Yeah, and there are still times, like, as an adult, where I'm just like, I cannot believe I never found my only, like, I only had one action figure also through my entire childhood career. I had the Donatello Ninja Turtle, and I only got the Donatello because, you know, he was the scientist, and I thought scientists were cool when I was a kid, because, man, was I exciting. I've always been super exciting my entire life. And I lost it. I think Tyson Knight probably stole it.
And this is why they call you Granddad.
Tyson Knight probably stole it. Fucking Tyson, you were a bad kid if you're tuning in this. He was one of those bad kids in the neighborhood in Spanaway. Tyson Knight, Mike Setzer, Richard Suter was an annoying type of bad kid. Like, adults just didn't like him because he aggravated them. We are not doing a news story. It's been like 10 minutes into this segment. And then Phoenix turned off her... and I don't have the code to... I don't have it memorized to turn her device back on. And then she just had to go put the young youth bed. So I'm going to go ahead and dig into which story was this.
You didn't like my story?
No, your screen turns off after like 15 seconds.
You know I gave you the code for that.
I don't have it memorized, Miss Colored. All right, here we go. So, Phoenix Mix Black. So, excessive air pollution affects 92% of people. Fuck. Is this in a particular area? Well, let's see. Yeah.
Globally.
Fuck, man. Whew, get ready for asthma to be on the increase while anti-vaxxers are worried about autism. More than 9 out of 10 people worldwide live in areas with excessive air pollution, contributing to problems like strokes, heart disease, and lung cancer. So you're better off with a cigarette and a cheeseburger than breathing. The UN Health Agency said in a new report. Oh, you just got a No, you got an update. No, this is Phoenix Leader's nerdy stuff that she does. She just got an update on her bakery story, and your juice is ready.
Oh, shoot. Oh, wait. I can't look at that. See, hold on. Oh,
just
damn.
Went full black.
Would you?
Yeah, your green juice is ready.
Green juice is ready.
She also plays Plant Nanny. And
Plant Nanny is not a game. That is a thing that sends you alarms to remind you to drink water.
Plant Nanny is not a game.
It is an alarm system to remind me to drink water. Do you want me to be dehydrated?
I remember to drink water because it exists and I probably should.
Do you want me to be dehydrated?
I don't think a great deal of what's in this glass is water.
You don't know my life.
Lisa said, drink water, ma'am.
I think Lisa said, William, stop being a punk.
I will. Soon. Or later.
May not drive me into the middle of
y'all's domestic. Huh? What? We got a lot of problems. We got turtlenecks and shawls. We got 25-cent glasses. We're bugging out.
Yes, Plant Nanny is an app. Terry is asking.
So the UN Health Agency, they said in a new report that 92% of people who live in areas where air quality exceeds WHO limits, World Health Organization is the WHO. They're in Southeast Asia, Eastern Mediterranean, and Western Pacific regions hardest hit. Okay, so it's not every darn body, but it's these areas that are just fire fucked, man.
Mm-hmm.
The country by country. All right, on your fashion application game. She also plays fashion.
Thank you. I do. Hell yeah, I do.
No, I like how...
I like how you do that, but just skip the sideline update. All right, that's fine.
I had my device on the telephone contacts, and she noticed that I had the name of the old job, and it said, do not answer.
It did.
Will you come back?
We need your help.
Oh, yeah. I switched my availability to Sunday morning only. So that way, I work Sunday through Thursday so that I can be, you know, with the boys Friday and Saturday. You know, and also, I can't be doing night shifts, man. I'm too grown for that shit. Like, I fuck night shifts, all right? I'm not a teenager.
Yes.
All right, so the country-by-country figures come from new satellite data over rural areas to complement traditional ground measurements of pollution, mostly in cities, in about 3,000 places worldwide. A similar WHO report, that's World Health Organization, WHO report released in May that said 98% of residents in large cities of low and middle income countries are facing excessively high air pollution. So do they mean McMurrica as one, because this is kind of a low income country? The WHO says 1 in 9 deaths worldwide is linked to indoor and outdoor pollution. Tuesday's report focuses on outdoor air pollution, which is estimated to kill about 3 million people per year based on 2012 figures, the most recent available. There are two things happening. One is rich countries are getting much better in improving the quality of the air, and two, poorer countries are getting worse. That is the overall trend, and that information comes from Dr. Carlos Dora. Right? Like, that name is just dope, because it makes you think of that Dora the Explorer program, and then, like, Carlos, and then it makes you think of, like, racist xenophobes, and it's like, this is the person giving you your information. Haha, I like bothering you.
So, apparently somebody has...
I'm really glad that I wasn't the only one going there, because you said that name, and I started singing the backpack
song
in my head.
See? What?
The only thing more annoying than Dora is Caillou.
What the fuck? You got beef with Dora? Phoenix has beef with Dora?
I don't like Dora.
She's an explorer. Like a real explorer. Not like somebody who's just, you know...
Not somebody who's exploring and colonizing land that they found that was already populated?
No, she's actually educated and educating.
No. I don't like Dora. Well, stop that.
I will pick your nose on air one of these days. Ma'am, what are you doing? You're acting really colored right now. Ma'am.
This is what my wife is like.
She doesn't know. She's covering my mouth.
I'm covering his mouth because he...
Acting black. Ma'am.
I'm covering his mouth because he needs to stop talking. Terry says air pollution is really bad in Egypt. Jay says that's because rich countries are shifting all their manufacturing to poor countries. Yes.
Yeah, they might be. They do that sometimes. Yeah, that's right. You got saliva all over your hand. Man, you want to get black? It's mine. I don't care.
Miss Andrew, here we go. Yeah. Ready? Miss Andrew.
Huh. What?
I think somebody took a screenshot. I think someone got the screenshot.
Oh, man.
Terry asked if we're going to be doing the podcast like this going forward, doing the live Facebook.
Oh, you should have seen how frantically I was trying to get ready, because I want this to be consistent. Like I set up the program, I did the show prep, and then I rushed and I banged out the dishes and you know, do a little sweepy do across the kitchen, cooked my dinner that I didn't eat yet. I just cooked it so I could eat it after we're done broadcasting, and then rushed back, and it was like 90 seconds to go live, and I set up the telephone, and then Phoenix rushed in and put on her gear. Right, and then went live so that it can be recording on the Audacity program, broadcasting on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio at the same time, and then it's 10:42 p.m. here, and we're getting ready to wrap up, and then I'm gonna jump up and go to work and start chucking boxes at 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and then get home and take a nap and jump up and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right behind you says, "Look, the abuse." Yep. True story. Sometimes you just gotta.
Hey, you don't even know anything about what you're doing. What? What the? Okay. This. God damn it. So, sometimes you gotta break into a person's house.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, ma'am, you're going to learn something. All right. Now, people get into relationships, and I mean, adults are adults, right? Like, we all want to get down on some enthusiastic, consensual, sexual activity. But sometimes it's like, you know, you done did it all, right? You've been in the car, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, and, you know, some folks even like in the airplane bathroom. Whatever it is you gotta do, folks like to have a good time with their enthusiastic, consensual sexual activities.
Yes.
But when it gets too boring, and not just any old boring, but you're also bored and you're in South Memphis, Tennessee, what do you do to spice it up? Well, you go to someone's house and you break the fuck in. And you see, hey, that's a nice couch. We could steal it, seeing as how the resident is not currently home. Or we could put some spice in our lives. And we're not going to be scary spice. All right? This is a nice couch. We're going to be posh spice on this here couch. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I'll tell you what I really, really want.
No, tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want a...
I want a zig-a-zig-ah on that couch.
Yeah, yeah.
So these folks done broke into this here woman's house. And they did a zig-a-zig-ah on her couch. Now, she got home, and not only was her place ransacked, but she saw a man and woman zig-a-zigging on her couch. Quote, "It's horrible in there. It's absolutely horrible in there. It's like they just had a big old nasty party. Walk in and they're having sex on my couch. I pick up a broom. I wanted to hit that man so bad." End quote. She said that when she chased the man out of her house, he kept saying, "Oh no, nothing," over and over. And then the woman who was involved in the zig-a-zigging grabbed one of the victim's dresses to cover up. "You don't want that dress. That's your dress now." Quote from the victim of this, who the resident said, "She tried to grab one of my dresses and put it on. I snatched it from her. What are you trying to do?" End quote. The police told Fox 13 Memphis that jewelry, appliances, shoes and clothing were stolen from the house, and it was estimated at a value of $2,200. A witness told investigators that the male suspect, who is still at large, tried to sell a silver ring that belonged to the victim. And the woman who was caught was charged with aggravated burglary and is being held on $30,000 bond. And another quote from the victim, "I don't feel comfortable at that house, so in my eyes, I'm homeless." I don't know about that, but I know that they told you what they want.
What they really, really want.
WineCellarMedia.com. Man. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. We need you to keep going and growing and zigga-zigging. Ah. Have a good one. Bye. All right, and hitting stop on the Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And then hitting stop on the Facebook feed. Wait, how do I do it? Finish. Okay. Ma'am.
Somebody actually got the screenshot with a...
Okay, that was a little too good.
A little too good? How does one be too good?
Oh, we tend to forget that's gonna happen.
How does one be too good?